Hello, Simon Streep here, and I'm here to talk about episode 10 of the Brothers Streep Show. This was recorded way back on the 26th of January 2016, and if you want to know what I was doing around that time, I was recording this episode. Now, there's a lot of talking about Easter eggs, and we actually even talk about how I like to put those marshmallow Easter eggs at Beacon Mix into the deep freeze. Now, 6 years later, I actually have a new deep freeze, and I have been putting in the Beacon marshmallow eggs, as I've always done, into the deep freeze. But rather than coming out nice and chewy, they've actually been coming out incredibly hard, so much so that it's become some sort of dental risk eating marshmallow eggs this year. Now, you're probably thinking, Simon, stop putting them in the deep freeze then. But no, I gave up logic for Lent. I'm going to put everything into the deep freeze. Woo! I've also been noticing a trend in the last 6 years where for some reason the Beacon white eggs just seem to disappear off the shelves as it gets closer and closer to Easter. So already now, at the end of February actually, I went online and stocked up. And I think I have now seven containers of Beacon white eggs. And that means I'm not going to run out this year, and also means I can probably scalp them closer to the time. So, if you're in need of some white eggs, you know who to call. Some other housekeeping. Last week, there was talk about toilet brushes in the podcast, and my wife Christine excitedly came up to me after hearing that episode and showed me this trick that you can do with a toilet brush. And that is, once you've used it, you can sort of trap it in between the seat and the bowl and let it drip dry there, which I think is an interesting trick. But I do fear if it's late at night and you haven't realized someone does that, you're probably just going to end up taking a dump directly on the toilet brush, and then you're going to be back where you started. Speaking of people giving feedback about the show, I know there are people listening because we can see the numbers that listen to each episode, but you still aren't writing in. So if you're listening to this right now, pause what you're doing, open up your email, put in the to section, info@brotherstreep.com. In the subject section, make it your own. Do something exciting there. And then please send us some feedback, because we'd love to know what you're thinking and why you're wasting an hour of your time every single week listening to this. But that's enough from me. Enjoy this episode packed with the quiz, packed with the game of liability. There's even some figuring out what's trending on Twitter, as well as Would You Rather. It's a great blast from the past, so have fun as we jump into the time machine and go all the way back to January 2016.
Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brothers Streep Show. Welcome to the Brothers Streep Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the Brothers Streep Show, episode 10.
It's a massive week.
Is it?
Yeah.
How's it been massive?
I'm so tired, guys.
Oh no.
Yeah. What? I got awakened by a mosquito.
Oh.
And it's just the pits, isn't it?
It's not great.
Oh, my word. My sleeping habits go thusly. It gets quite late in the evening. I decide, okay, that's enough TV. I'll go to my bed, turn on another TV, watch an episode or two of something, then think, oh, it's quite late now. I'll listen to a podcast.
What time? I mean, give us some timestamps. Where are we now on your evening?
Earliest 11:30, but usually after 12. Podcast goes in. I listen to about 7 minutes of that, and I'm asleep.
Okay. Roughly, what time do you think you're falling asleep by?
It's probably about 12:30.
Okay, that's still kind of comfortable.
And yeah. Which podcast? It's not this podcast, because that would keep you awake.
Yeah.
That would inspire you.
It's
ideas.
It's podcasts that I know very well and still find entertaining.
Nice.
Because podcasts I want to listen to, I tried that and realized that I was just never listening to the podcast because I fall asleep every single time.
That makes sense.
So it's podcasts that I can put at the right level. I can have a little laugh or chuckle internally and then go to sleep.
But now this is interesting. So you say you've got your headphones in your ears.
One headphone in.
One in.
Because I sleep with my face on the side.
Why do you not put two in?
Because I sleep with my face on the side.
No, don't act as if that's not possible to have something in your ear when you're with your face.
It's pretty uncomfortable, yeah. I would say.
Very uncomfortable.
I think you can adapt.
But the problem is that then you get all tangled up.
No, I think you need a pair of iPhone headphones.
I've got, you know, very similar.
Well, because I find that the Apple branded ones on your side don't hurt that much.
Don't bring kind this of Apple love to this podcast. I'm sick of this.
The thing is,
yeah.
I'm having amazing sleep because I'm having these things in both ears, not just one. See, if you have things in both ears, there's not a chance of that mosquito waking you up unless it's got a very hard bite.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It did have a hard bite. I woke up, I think it was about 3:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I just lay there for a while. I thought maybe it'll go away. It didn't.
The mosquito or the bite?
The mosquito.
Okay.
Turned the light on. Couldn't see it, obviously.
It's gone. They're invisible. Gone.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Camouflage.
And I thought, I'll get up and walk around a bit. And then maybe
to scare it.
Pretty much, yeah. To let it know that there's a being in this room.
Yeah, as if it was like biting you by mistake.
Yeah. Maybe it thought I was a carcass.
Dude, do you have any kind of mosquito-threatening tools in your hand? Because if you're just walking around like a normal person, that's not very threatening. But if you're walking around with some sort of anti-mosquito shirt on and some sort of, I don't know, spray can with doom.
Seldom wear shirts when I'm asleep anyway.
Oh, see, this is your mistake.
Yeah, so I looked in the mirror and realized that I'd scratched pretty much the skin off my neck and arm and face in my sleep because of this mosquito. And then I tried to go back to sleep, same rules, iPod, lights out, mosquito came back, lights back on, iPod off. Very frustrating. And eventually I actually saw it there on a cupboard, kind of sitting there on the cupboard. And it was big. This thing.
Oh, it had a lot of your blood.
Yeah, it had dined out. And I went over and I thought, okay, well, I'll just give it the old smack, like you usually kill a mosquito with ease. This thing was nimble.
Mm.
And I was surprised because if I think back a month ago, Christmas Day, you eat a big meal. You're not darting out of the way very quickly when a threat comes. So this, I don't know what happened to it. I did manage to sleep. Oh, this is the thing. I put on the fan. I did the fan.
I was going to ask, why weren't you doing the fan from the moment you...
Well, it feels like a waste of electricity to have a fan on the whole night. Although now it would have been about 4 hours. But and also, I didn't know if I'd be able to sleep with a fan directly on my face.
Have you not?
Because I don't do that.
Oh, often. Don't you normally use the fan technique?
I thought it might take the rest of the early morning to adjust to that. But I did end up resorting to it after the two get-ups and slept through.
Well, I can say for one thing, I'm very happy that you described a situation where you try to hit the mosquito and it darted away.
Mm.
Because it sounded like you were about to say you hit the mosquito and your hand just bounced back. And this thing was some sort of super mosquito,
not filled like it with blood,
but titanium or something. And so it's good to hear that it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But you should really try the fan method. I mean...
Well, I have, and it seemed to work.
I just
don't know about leaving a fan on all night.
Apparently, I've heard rumors that it's when you heat air or something that your electricity is used a lot. But if it's just something like a fan, apparently that doesn't take much.
Okay.
Just, I mean, people can write in. They won't, but you can write in and see whether I'm right or wrong about that.
We're in crisis zone in the world with energy and electricity and water and all these things. But I'll put my fan on sleep.
Don't put a misting fan on. Water restrictions. I do think that the problem with the mosquitoes is that they come when you're your weakest, because you're not thinking straight when you're half awake. And so a simple act like you getting up, putting on a fan, thinking this might work, and then going to sleep, you don't necessarily make those connections straight away. You're probably more likely to lie there and contemplate just trying to ignore the mosquito first. Then there'll be a section where you'll start trying to pick up your pillow, actually hit the mosquito, see if that works.
Yeah.
But before that section is the slapping yourself in the face section.
Yeah. Went through that.
Yeah.
Let me just try emulate what it sounds like, this mosquito. It's really annoying.
It's very good.
And it's also not consistent. That's the problem with mosquitoes, is that I wish it was like that, but they tend to kind of, you don't hear them, and then they just come, and then you just don't hear them again.
See, I have no beef with mosquitoes. Like, if they want to bite me, that is fine. Yeah. As long as they don't wake me up. But they always tend to just fly around your ear. Mm. And they just keep you awake.
It's because of all the blood vessels in the ear.
Mm. That's the best juices.
Yeah. I'm sure I have more juice in my legs. Like, I don't know. If I could put a sign saying, mosquitoes dine here for free, I would. On my leg.
You really can.
You can go right ahead and do that.
Don't think they read. It's not quite in the DNA. Or in your DNA, because they have a bit of everyone's DNA in them, don't they?
They do.
The mosquitoes. So they eat blood. I eat other things. That's my link for this.
All right.
I've been having this debate with my wife. She seems to think that one of my favorite lunches that I used to have is a weird lunch to have. And so I'm just going to bring it to the table. You guys can let me know whether I'm on the wrong track with food or whether I'm on the right track. And Dylan, I think you've eaten this before, so you're going to be very helpful in mm-hmm. this discussion. Is I used to like taking 3 slices of toast, no more than 3. You then slice up some tomato. First you butter it, then you slice some tomato, put it on the toast. You then slice some cheese, put on the toast. And then you just put a packet of cooked 2-minute noodles on the on the bread, and it kind of melts the cheese a bit, and it's very delicious. And
it is. And I remember specifically that it had to be 3 slices of bread.
Yeah, that's the official.
Wait, all one on top of the other?
No. 2 and then 1, kind of, so that it covers most of the plate.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So the noodles can be spread out amongst the toast.
Right.
Now, yeah. So you say it was good?
It was good, but I haven't had it for a lot of years. And okay. I feel like it's quite a starchy overload. And that 2-minute noodles apparently are just awful for you anyway.
I don't think it's going to win like one of Tim Noakes approved. It's not going to be put on like the green list or whatever. Right. He's like, go for that. But it is definitely tasty, and you can...
It's mega filling, I'll tell you that much. That fills you up, boy.
And Andrew, do you think you'll try that?
No, that's super weird.
What's weird about it?
2 versus 1 here.
Also, what's weird about it?
It's noodles on bread. That's like...
Anything on... I had curry on bread this morning for breakfast.
Oh,
genuinely.
Curry on bread. Curry on bread is fine. What? But you also put curry on noodles. Basically, you're putting 2 bases together.
Yeah. Curry on bread.
You're putting 2 bases together. It's like having mashed potato on bread.
There was potato in the curry, so maybe think back to how enthusiastic you were just now.
Have you ever had a hash down splashdown? That's potato on a roll.
Yeah.
No, I haven't had one because that's not a real thing.
What do you mean it's not a real thing?
Where have you had a hash down splashdown? That sounds like, I don't know, Miley Cyrus's Wimpy? New movie.
Is it a Wimpy thing?
I think it's a Wimpy thing.
Yeah. Other brands are available.
Yeah, that's true.
What about rice with a roast meal?
What are you talking about? The rice is still the base.
Have rice but no potatoes.
But the bread's the base in this thing. The bread's the base. The noodle's clearly the topping.
But do you put the potatoes on the rice?
Well, you eat them all in the same meal.
I guess.
Do you do that?
I do that.
Well, there we go. Finally, somebody else. Because I thought that was completely normal. And like sometime last year, brought it up. And everyone was like, why would you have rice? You have roast potatoes.
Yeah, I mean...
You idiot.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't need both of them. But you do have them at like
rice
Christmas.
Rice is so good.
Let's be honest. You don't need half of
things. But you don't have rice and potatoes like often.
No, with a roast meal.
Yeah, with a roast meal maybe.
Don't downgrade it, maybe.
For the roast meal, you'd have that like...
and Yorkshire pudding.
That yellow or orange rice. It wouldn't normally be white rice.
You can't have babooty rice with anything but babooty,
exactly.
Surely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is madness.
My Christmas is big to differ. Okay, so you're not having it.
I'm not having this.
But I think 2 out of 3 is not bad.
It isn't bad.
But I'll have all of those things throughout the day at different stages. So maybe that's a little
like
bit
like as a given. No matter what. 10 o'clock, you have some noodles. 12 o'clock, some tomatoes.
I'll have, you know, whatever. I'll have a sandwich at lunchtime and then maybe mid-afternoon snack, you have a cheeky packet of 2 noodles.
Okay, interesting. I haven't really ever gotten lunch right at work, I think. Because it seems like... Nothing I really have for lunch I'm super excited to eat. It's not like supper. Supper's like the treat. It's like, oh, you're going to get some crumbed chicken or some pizza or something. But lunches, it's very hard to get a good...
Leftovers.
...out of the office. Leftovers is good, but I'm just too greedy the night before. I just want to eat it then.
Even if you've made enough.
No, but yeah, making more would just have me eating more.
Okay.
I really wish that wasn't the case.
Well, it all comes down to discipline then, I think.
Yeah, I've just got an utter lack of discipline when it comes to food.
There's nothing like leftovers because it takes all that excitement of the dinner and has it at lunch the next day.
Oh, that is good.
And you get extra flavor seepage time.
Okay, I'm going to work
especially with a curry.
I'm going to work on my discipline and then try this leftovers thing. I'll get back to you. At lunchtime, we were talking about lunches today, and the one guy mentioned that apparently a snackwich with bacon and peanut butter is very nice.
Oh, dear.
That sounds like an odd combination. But then he said this, and he's quite an elderly gentleman, and another elderly lady chimed in, oh, my gosh, it's amazing. So either this is just like a post-war thing where people were just wanting to treat themselves and like, oh, my gosh, what are our favorite things? Peanut butter, bacon, put them together.
Yeah.
Or there's something to this.
I'm not going to jump in with a, oh, that sounds a bit weird, because I'm notoriously experimental with these weird combos. So I'll give it a try maybe once.
Okay.
But I'm not rushing towards it. I'd much sooner go for something sweet with the bacon.
Okay.
Jam, preserves, sugar.
Peanut butter is fairly sweet though.
Is it?
I mean, I've every now and again just gone to the peanut butter jar, taken a spoon, put it in my mouth, gone. That's a delicious spoon. Maybe I should put some peanut butter on it.
Yeah, I've done the same with Bovril, but that doesn't make it sweet.
What? Sorry, Bovril?
Yeah. A teaspoon of Bovril?
That's
not a full teaspoon. I'll dip my finger in.
What?
Well, it's the same thing. You
no,
like,
it's not the same thing.
It is the same thing. You like the taste of peanut butter, so you have a spoon of it. I like the taste of Bovril.
But peanut butter is like the flavor of an ice cream and stuff. You don't get Bovril-flavored ice cream.
You get Bovril-flavored meat.
that's weird. I mean, I love this. We live in a very diverse world. Each
what do you dip
own.
Yourself into?
Not Bovril, that's for sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 questions.
We're going to be playing 20 questions, and this time I'm in the hot seat.
Awesome.
And I've thought of something.
Can you tell us what you've thought of, just so we can have it in record? What we can do is, Dylan and I will definitely put our fingers in our ears at this point.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. And then you just say the word.
Yeah.
We obviously won't hear it.
Yeah.
And then
for
the audience, it's for the audience at home.
Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place a bet, and I'm going to say that you're going to get this at question 14.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah. I'm challenging you to get it at question 14, even if you know it by 12.
All right. So
just stall.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's make this more interesting. I agree to that. But is it possible that if I get it right, that counts as 5 points in the quiz later on?
Let's make this interesting and say yes.
All right. But doesn't if Dylan gets it. So cool. Awesome. You agree to that. Everyone was happy. So,
but if you get it right and it's not on question 14 and you get it right, then Dylan gets 5 points.
Ooh.
Well, those odds favor me hugely. I'm in.
All right. Let's start with the obvious one. Is it a vegetable?
No.
Is it animal?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it something in this room?
No.
When you say, is it animal, imagine if it was animal from the Muppets.
Yeah.
And that was instantly right at question two. That would be pretty cool.
That would be
great.
Was
that a question?
No. Right. Is this animal commonly kept as a pet?
Yes.
Is there a famous version of this animal?
Yes.
All right. Is it Garfield?
Is the right answer. Dylan gets 5 points.
Yay!
Darn it.
Can you believe it?
Okay.
That's great. 5 questions.
Yeah.
Well done, Dylan.
No, why? Oh, this has backfired immensely. Here, what I thought is that Andrew would have at least chosen something hard for 20 questions. Instead, he's only gone and sabotaged my points in the quiz by choosing something easy.
There must be records out there for how quickly people have won 20 questions. We must be in the top 20.
In fact, there were 2 questions that you got no's for. So you only really benefited from 3 questions.
That's amazing.
2 questions.
Write those questions into an algorithm and sell it. This is obviously a surefire way to win.
There's like an imitation game type movie waiting to be made from this round of 20 questions.
Yeah.
Well, I've got another one if you want to go again.
Not really.
Okay.
I don't think we should end our lucky streak.
Yeah, quit while we're ahead.
That was pretty good.
Would you rather?
Welcome to Would You Rather. I've asked Twitter to provide me with some would you rathers. And could you believe it? Loads of people responded because I went on to one particular profile called Would You Rather and just stole a bunch of their questions, which was quite good. But what makes this round more interesting than the last time we played it is that I've actually got official stats. Okay. People on Twitter have voted. And all right. So we can discuss them and then we can guess which way people swayed.
I like
if you get
this.
It right, you will go yes. And if you get it wrong, we'll say no.
If I get it right...
It's all to play for.
Yeah.
If I get it right, can I win back the 5 points for the quiz?
Yeah, maybe. If you get the majority of them right.
Yes, I'm back in the game.
Let's start with a silly one. Would you rather be a vampire or a wizard?
Ooh.
Discuss.
Interesting pairing. I would have thought it would be a vampire or werewolf.
Yeah.
But a vampire
the internet
or
is quite crazy.
Yeah.
If you think of the endless questions people might have asked, this would definitely be one of them.
Well, I mean, at least it's a bit more in line. If it was, would you rather be a vampire or a cabbage?
Yeah.
So easier. So they are kind of in the
realm
of mythical.
No, what's funny is when you were busy saying that, I was thinking you were going to say vampire or cauliflower. So in 10 years, our minds have almost melded. We're in the same ballpark.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is on the internet, so... I just want to know what kind of wizard are we talking? Are we talking Gandalf, Lord of the Ringsy wizard? Are we talking Harry Potter?
I think it's up to you.
Because, you know, there's a big difference. Gandalf, although he's very powerful, I don't think he ever baths.
Right.
And that would be a problem for me. But Harry Potter seems like quite a clean chap.
Wait, hang on. But you would be Gandalf, so you could decide whether you bath or not.
Also, you must be used to walking around with hobbit-sized people.
And this is true. Surely you don't like baths? I mean, as a tall person, do you even fit in a bath?
We've done this. We've definitely covered this.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that Gandalf didn't shower.
Ah, there were waterfalls in the Shire.
Yeah, couldn't he shoot a beam up into a cloud and it would just shower down onto him?
Maybe. Well, if he can do that, then I would rather be a wizard.
Do vampires bath?
In blood.
Surely being kind of like... Are they classified as undead? I can never get this right. They are technically dead, hey?
Yeah.
So
they must they're immortal, smell. Too. So
if you're a smelly vampire, there's probably no need to bath.
See, much like your wizard from Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, there's differentiation between vampires, too.
It's true.
There's the old, I want to suck your blood, which is interesting, Transylvanian type. And then there's obviously the Twilight type comes to mind as... A differentiation. They look like they've bathed.
Yeah, Edward doesn't look like he's a smelly guy.
Yeah.
Jacob, I mean, he's a werewolf though, but Jacob looks like he probably does smell a bit, let's be honest.
Yeah, and fleas.
I think the majority of the internet would have gone with wizard. Yeah. Because I think...
But what would you go with? This is what would you rather.
But I'm also trying to get these points back. So I'm saying internet says a wizard. And I probably would say for myself, I'd probably also go with wizard. Because at least wizards can die if they choose to. I don't like this idea of eternally having to
vampires
walk the earth.
Die.
I guess you could probably put a stake through your own heart. But I'd rather eat the stake.
But vampires, you know, you can fly, but you can't cast sweet spells.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Although these days, they're very loose with the rules. You probably do get vampires that can do spells. But I think I'd still go with wizard.
Wizard?
Yeah, I'd want to be a wizard. But I think that most people have chosen vampire.
Alrighty. Well, I can say that 81% of the population has said wizard.
Oh, yay! Wow. Getting those points back.
You can have 1 point back for that.
Do you have five of these?
I do have five of these, and for some reason you gave me 5 points earlier, so just play it like that.
Perfect.
The next one, would you rather lick someone's foot or lick a pavement?
Oh.
Mm.
Pavement, probably.
What?
Because
what?
A pavement... Well, someone's foot, though, it's another human being. It's a pavement...
Could be a vampire, could be dead foot.
You don't know who's been on a pavement, which can work in your advantage or disadvantage, but the beauty is that you don't know. Whereas a foot, there's no moment when licking a foot that you're like, oh, this might not be a foot. This could be an ice cream.
I think my head, maybe I'm a bit more pessimistic. The fact that I wouldn't know what's on a pavement, I'd assume it's worse than it could be an ice cream or whatever.
It's much more likely that a pavement is still going to be covered in gunk than someone's foot. They're going to have washed it.
Whoa. I don't know where you're coming in with they will have washed it.
Yeah,
you're adding
of course
things
they will.
It doesn't say a clean foot.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, we have a friend, a mutual friend, and people can piece it together. We went to his wedding, not the last wedding we went to, but the wedding before that.
Yeah.
And this man definitely got to a stage of his life where he had permanent athlete's foot.
He also told us that he doesn't wash his below his legs.
Yeah, he says he can't for some reason. He said,
"What do you guys? Do you guys like bend down and reach up and clean your foot?" Everyone's like, "Yes, that's exactly what you do." Oh, no, I can't be doing that.
So I think, I mean, a pavement.
It drips down. The soap drips down.
Right. So if it reaches down there, it's fine.
So this man's foot probably gets washed maybe once a year accidentally.
Yeah, I'd lick all the pavements in the world before this one foot.
Whereas the pavements, you know that they're getting washed every winter because of rain. So it looks like...
Now you're saying clean pavements. I'm going to say foot.
Okay.
I'm definitely saying personally pavements, but I think the rest of the world might have gone for foot.
All right, and you're foot.
I'm foot.
It's interesting. I can tell you now that 60% of the population have gone with pavement.
What?
Ah, darn it.
The population is wrong.
No, yeah. The population's definitely right.
Let's move on to question three. Would you rather be in a real version of The Walking Dead or Jurassic Park?
Oh, that sucks.
Personally, I haven't seen either of them. Jurassic Park because it's a lifelong dream, even if that life ends abruptly by being chomped in half while sitting on a toilet. Still worth it. Terrified of zombies, would love to see a dinosaur.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Because, you know, with a zombie, there's a chance that you're going to bite someone else. With a dinosaur, imagine coming back as a dinosaur.
What are you talking about? We're not blending
dinosaurs
the two together.
Work like zombies.
Yeah.
And when you got bitten by a dinosaur, you came back as that dinosaur.
But what do you mean, imagine if pavements worked like zombies as well.
What do you mean come back as a dinosaur?
I don't know.
When zombies get bitten, they don't go somewhere and become zombies and come back as zombies.
Yeah.
They maintain their form. But your teeth, maybe your teeth would get sharp and your arms would grow short.
That's what I mean. This is where the whole zombie thing falls down, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because people always say, oh, you get bitten by a zombie, you turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
But in the movies, when you see someone who's like surrounded by zombies, they just get like torn to pieces.
Sure.
And there's like nothing left of them.
But so that's where those weird like...
You can't have both. You can't have, oh, they're going to bite you and then leave you alone to become a zombie.
You're right. I think it's the quick bite while you're fleeing. There aren't that many. Maybe the ratio is like 30% of people bitten.
Get
torn to shreds.
But then how does it become an epidemic? Because surely the more zombies there are, the more they're going to be tearing you apart and not creating more zombies.
Look at the
stats. I'm going to look at the stats.
Well, just be thankful that when you get bitten by a mosquito, you don't get turned into a mosquito.
Yeah, mosquito man. That would be annoying.
All right, I'm thinking that I would rather be... I'd probably rather be in a zombie land. I don't know. I think you'd survive longer in The Walking Dead, maybe, than Jurassic Park. But I think more people have seen Jurassic Park, so I think the world would have gone with Jurassic Park.
I am completely the opposite. Mm. I would rather be Jurassic Park, and I know that the rest of the world wants to use their zombie apocalypse kit.
Yeah.
So I'm going rest of the world zombie.
Well, this one's very close. I can tell you now that the population have voted 59% in favor of Jurassic Park.
What? Yes.
And clawing I wholeheartedly agree with them. Come on. Imagine swimming with a Leoplerodon.
I literally can't.
Would you rather spend a whole day with Donald Trump or be eaten alive by hamsters? Genuine question on the internet, which I love. That's the kind of thing the internet's good for.
Okay, so this is a tough one because obviously, I think across the board, if this was a real situation, if this was genuinely going to happen, you would definitely choose to spend a day with Trump because in the other situation, you don't exist. After that choice.
Right.
But the internet probably, for shock value, is going to go with, I'd rather be eaten by hamsters.
Yeah.
But what would you rather? Because this is, would you rather?
Yeah, but I've already said I would much rather spend a day with Trump.
Yeah.
It would be fun spending a day with Trump and then at the end of the day, throwing hamsters at him.
Ooh, combining the two.
Yeah.
Okay, would he be eaten alive by these hamsters?
I don't wish death upon him.
He strikes me as the king of the hamsters with his hair.
That's a very good point.
His hair is probably made up entirely of hamsters.
Yeah, he might just make them turn on you. And then you would have spent a day with Trump and you would be eaten by hamsters.
whoever thought you'd choose both? okay, so you're saying internet hamsters, personal Trumps.
Yeah.
I can say, well, this is even closer, that the world has said 54% Donald.
Oh, like, wow, interesting. Really?
They want to spend it with Trump. But 54, I mean, it's not a majority.
So you're
really.
Saying I can have
it
a point.
It is a majority,
no,
really.
You said I could have a point. There we go.
You don't get a point for that because we both got it. You don't get a point. Points. You don't get a point.
I don't think you can get for that because you basically said hamsters.
Yeah.
And wow. I said, no, it's Donald. So, you know, if there's anything to go by there. Would you rather be able to rewind time by up to 10 seconds or be able to read minds?
Easy. Rewind time up to 10 seconds. Because then
tell
you
me
can
the
just,
practical application.
Okay, because if you want to go back an hour, you just have to do it like 60 times or whatever the maths is.
You're already breaking the rules.
10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds.
Strenuous.
Done.
No, it's going to be more than that because you're going to lose a second each time. Definitely.
That's fine. You'll catch it up.
You have no desire to read minds then, obviously.
No. I don't want to see what's in people's heads.
It is worrying. I know it's unlikely that we're ever going to have the technology that can read minds, but... Don't you find when you're in a situation where you shouldn't think a thought, that thought often becomes the thought you think you shouldn't be thinking?
Yeah.
Like at an airport, when you're going, I wonder if there's any bombs around or whatever in your head. And you're like, would I be able to not be thinking this if there was technology? Because it would be great technology. You'd stop way too many people. I don't think anyone would fly.
There'd be a system, though. I don't think they would stop you if you just thought that. If you thought, I wonder whether I remembered to pack the bomb this morning,
right.
Then they'll probably stop you.
I'm sure they'd go on code words. Just bomb. Well, we got a bomb here. Put them in a thing.
The problem with both of these powers would actually drive me insane because obviously the thought of going 10 seconds back to rectify something that you've said that maybe offended someone or that actually...
Yeah,
you're
that
like,
does
oh,
seem to be the...
I wish I hadn't have said that. That's really cool, but that's also really like you'd want to probably you'd analyze every single second of your day, being like, "Could I have done that better? Could I have done that better?"
Yeah. I mean, imagine your 1 second a day videos.
Yeah,
you'd be like, nope, go back 10 seconds. I want to take a new one.
But the other thing equally would drive you insane because if you could hear what everyone was thinking all the time, you'd probably get quite depressed because I don't know if the majority of the world is always happy. They've got a lot on their plates.
I don't think this is what women want style reading minds where you can't stop it.
Okay, so you can choose.
Or be able to read minds. So you've got the ability to read minds. That one, you can just not do it.
Okay,
or both of them. You're able to rewind time or you're able to read minds.
I think I would choose the mind reading because I do think the 10-second thing... Even though I'd have the ability not to do it, it would be too tempting to do it and I would just eventually wear myself out.
So
I end up accidentally going back and back and back until I'm like a fetus.
Yeah. You've been given two stunning powers here, a choice, and you've chosen the one that you won't be tempted to use. Like, can't you think of one cool thing to do with the one you did choose, reading minds?
I don't know. It would be really good in quizzes. You just sit close to the quizmaster and you can always win that bottle of champagne that they have at the end as a prize.
Okay.
I think people would prefer reading minds, but I would prefer the 10-second one.
Okay.
And if Simon gets this right, it's because he's gone back 10 seconds, changed his answer.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We'll never know. And you're saying minds and minds.
Minds and minds.
Okay. Well, this is a whopping 75% of the world would like to read minds.
Yeah, the only one I got right, I think.
So you can claw back on that. And that's Would You Rather. You can go check it out on Twitter. Just search for Would You Rather and you can get your own fun questions and ask your friends.
And that's 7 points to me. So let's move on before anyone questions that.
Go tell your friends the Brother Street by trending.
Right. Brother Street by trending. Mm. What is trending on Twitter?
Okay.
Today.
It's got to be hashtag Easter.
What?
Early.
It is early.
It's like the shops. I was flummoxed when I walked into the shops in January and they were already doing Easter eggs and things. It's bizarre.
It's definitely possible. I've had an Easter egg today and it's not anywhere remotely close to Easter. So Dylan's, he's probably right.
Is it hashtag Easter?
No, it's not even in the top 10. It's not even on the list.
Not even on the list.
The closest I can find is Earl Sweatshirt.
How is that close?
It's not. That's what I'm saying.
Closest. Right.
Okay.
Any other guesses?
On the Easter thing, when do you guys normally start buying? Do you ever buy Easter eggs before Easter?
No.
No?
before for yourself?
Yeah, just like, so you just only Easter eggs you have are what you're given.
No, I'll generally buy a pack of those white chocolate eggs, but that's about it.
Okay.
Nothing.
I keep on getting addicted to those. I don't like them. They're not my favorite Easter egg. But those Beacon marshmallow eggs.
The box of 48. Deadly.
Yeah, because I really like the competition. Because I keep on thinking, I'm going to find the golden egg or whatever that they hide inside thing, and I'm going to win.
I got a golden ticket.
And I have. It's been 2 years now that this has been going on, and I haven't won yet. But
well,
I think
don't
I will
give up.
No, I think I'll do 30.
You must. Do you buy $1?
No,
you've got to buy more than $1.
Normally, by the end of the season, which apparently starts in January, would have gone through between $2 and $3.
Oh, that is a lot of chocolates.
But what's good
what's your favorite color egg in there, though? I miss the purple ones.
Yeah, the yellow wrapped ones taste delicious. Do you ever put them in the freezer? Because they've become quite nice in the freezer.
I've never done that.
Nope. You should go try it. It's really good.
Is it hashtag old South African TV adverts? It is, right?
I'll have a look.
Because there's a blog that's been released and it's pretty huge.
Is it blowing up?
You could say that. You'd be wrong, but you could say it.
Is it something to do with cricket? I know people have been playing cricket recently.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you name
the Protea Fire? Isn't that something that people
hashtag? We lost the series, so nobody's really...
Protea...
Fire out.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, just hashtag normal fire. There's fires going on in Cape Town.
Yeah,
Elgin. Elgin fire.
But they're not being tweeted about, apparently.
It's a shame.
No, you're on the right track. It's the bowler who did really well today. Any guesses? Do you guys know?
I don't know cricket, and I did see the name on social media. Somebody posted about him today. If you give me a first name, I can probably help you out.
Kagiso?
I can't.
Rabada.
I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, if Dylan hadn't been talking there, I would have said that name.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Sorry. So you can't just give
that's
me...
That's the problem with me. I speak over everyone.
I know you guys are like don't really care about cricket, but this dude is the future.
Yeah.
Is he
hashtag
on fire?
Should
the tag be his name and the word fire?
Yeah, maybe. Rabada Fire. It's got quite a good ring to it.
It does have a good ring. It's better than Elgin Fire.
Any others? Any other guesses? Well, one of them is about a person that you've met and...
Ooh.
May have even serenaded.
Met and
hashtag Anna Paquin.
No. More local.
That we've met and maybe serenaded.
Is it hashtag Anne Hirsch?
No.
Is it not?
No, it's someone more famous.
More famous than Anne Hirsch.
More
but
notorious.
Not Anna Paquin. I don't think there's anyone between those two bookends.
Well, I'm stumped. Who is it?
It's hashtag Gareth Cliff.
Oh, the judge is to be judged.
Okay, that's interesting.
What has he done?
I don't know, but it's trending.
Good, let's leave it there.
let's not pass judgment. Yeah. The only other thing that I do know about that is trending right now is to do with a country.
Hashtag Australia Day.
Is the right answer.
Yes!
Points to Simon.
What's interesting about this is that we record this... usually about 4 days before we release it to the public, and in this case an extra 2 days, so these things aren't probably going to be trending at all anymore.
But it was
fun for us. Just know that, listener,
it's so good to know what happened the week before. This is like the news but old news. And sometimes it's nice having old news, you know, when you catch up with a relative you haven't seen for a while. They don't tell you what happened the last couple of days. They tell you what you've missed in the last couple of years.
It's almost like we've gone back 10 seconds a couple of times in a row.
Liability.
Welcome to Liability, the round where we test our ability to lie. Huh? Get it? Liability. Now, some might wonder, is this round based on anything? Yes, there's a similar game called The Unbelievable Truth, and we've just kind of taken that, tweaked it ever so slightly to make it our own, much like all the other rounds in this show. So how this works is we've taken it upon ourselves to present a little talk on a subject that we've chosen, and we've got to try get three true things about that subject across, but the rest has to be completely made up, and it's up to the other people to decide where those truths are. All
right. How can points be scored?
Well, basically, if I buzz in when I think you've said something that is true,
yep,
and I'm right, I get a point.
Yeah.
If I buzz in and say something that I think is true when it hasn't been true, I lose a point. And if you get to the end of your talk and you've managed to get a couple of those true things through without being buzzed, then you get the amount of points that relate to the number that you
that
got through.
That makes sense.
I mean, we're not going to explain this every time, so listen up.
Yeah.
And we're going to refer people from now on to episode 10 to get the explanation.
Episode 10, it's a huge week.
All right, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. What topic have you chosen?
My talk is entitled Giraffes.
Did you choose this because you were and are the tallest man in the world?
I cannot comment on that.
Okay.
Right.
Do you want to just test your buzzer there, Simon?
I think it's broken.
He brought the mask with him.
Right.
Okay.
Here we go. Giraffes are the shortest and fattest of the animal kingdom, but they are the fastest animal with horns. They achieve the speed by rolling
back.
Hello. I think Dylan buzzed in there first.
I think I like fastest animal with horns.
I made that up. That's not true.
Does a giraffe even have horns, or has it just got those little knobs? Like
I guess so. I don't know. I made it up.
Well, good thing I didn't buzz in.
They do have those little knoppies. They look like...
we should know this.
Like
we
sticks of broccoli.
Specifically on a game drive.
It looks sore, those little knobs that they have. But isn't that because they've been bashing trees with it? Just headbutting trees like it's going out of fashion?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's meant to know the expert.
I know, but I feel like if I give anything away...
Okay, fair enough. Continue.
It's true. He's going to come back.
We've got a whole section on butting trees.
So it's really sore when they butt their heads against trees like it's going out of fashion.
They achieve the speed by rolling down hills and using their underarm wing flaps to soar above the plains. Anyone? Nothing? Okay. When the female giraffe gets hungry and there's no food about, she eats her poop. And when she's ready to mate, she pees in a man giraffe's mouth. Yeah.
Hello. Sorry. I do believe that she eats her poop.
No, I made that up.
Oh, well, I just thought it's about time someone else said something strange that they ate for lunch.
And when she's ready to mate, she pees in a man giraffe's mouth. Dylan?
That's definitely true.
That is true.
Yay. Oh,
interesting. Done.
Yeah, no, I know that one for sure.
Hopefully not from experience.
No.
Right. Giraffes regularly kill other animals for pleasure. They have flipped rhinos on their backs, knocked leopards out of trees, and decapitated lions.
I think they've knocked leopards out of trees. I think you've done the sandwich truth thing there. No?
No, I haven't. Okay. It's not true at all.
That's unfortunate.
Dylan.
Flipped rhinos on their backs.
It is incorrect. I'm sorry. No.
Yes, I'm glad you did that.
Anyone going for the third?
Humans often use items that giraffes have inspired. For instance, the idea for the foldable ladder was conceived when someone saw a giraffe's legs at the London Zoo. NASA has also used giraffe legs to design their spacesuits. And the Botswana Army has utilized their hide as a camouflage design for radio towers.
Oh, God.
Simon.
Now, definitely one of those things is true.
That's a big buzz.
A confident buzz. I'm pretty sure it's not the middle one. So I'm kind of, you know...
Seesawing on the outside.
Let's do the ladder.
The ladder? I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Darn it. Dill, you're going to jump in and benefit from my powers of
not
reduction?
This time.
Okay. The giraffe is my favorite animal. The end.
There's nothing on that one for me.
It might be his favorite animal.
Because of the height.
But I don't know if that would be on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's hard to check. Hey.
So I managed to smuggle two truths past you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Astonishingly.
That's very good. What were they?
The NASA has used giraffe legs in their design of spacesuits. It's because when a baby giraffe is born, they have veins that can expand very quickly, and that's apparently useful in space.
Oh, that was the one that I had completely written off.
Yeah. So they have actual giraffe legs in their spacesuits?
No, they don't. And giraffes have decapitated lions.
Oh.
Why? How? What do you mean?
Because they have such enormous legs and such a sharp hoof. You know, it's
reference to episode 9. Yeah.
And apparently they've decapitated lions, if you get it just right.
Okay,
it's like golf.
Wow. All right. Interesting.
Very good.
So I get two.
That means you get 2 points.
Lovely. I can give you an update on the score so far. Simon's on negative three. I'm on two, and Dylan's on one.
Negative one.
You're on negative one.
Yeah. I'm keeping score here too.
Good.
All right. My lecture is on peanuts.
Peanuts as in the edible peanuts or the comic strip?
You will find out within the first five words. Peanuts is a British comic strip that focuses on a young girl called Charlene Brown and her dog, Peanuts. The first comic appeared in newspapers in 1850, making it arguably the longest story ever told by one human being. That human being being J.R.R. Tolkien.
Beep. I'm going to beep in. I don't think it was in 1850, but I think it's the longest story that's been told.
So how could that possibly be true?
Because like it's a long...
That is true.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes!
What? The longest story that's been told? I'm going to fact check these facts after this.
What would be a longer story?
Well, I mean, it's not one continuous
like
story,
The Bold
though.
And the Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that could count. Days of Our Lives is probably a longer story. Surely, it's not like what happened in the very first strip informs big narrative arcs 10 years down the line. So, it can't really be
it's
called
just a
one
point,
story.
Sorry.
Wow. It's interesting.
It's anger.
It's an interesting point.
It can be called one story. It's one. It's a bunch of characters and their lives have been told continuously since...
Over multiple stories.
Not 1850. J.R.R. wanted to tell the story of a group of kids whose parents were never seen and never heard, but a mix-up in the printer cartridges resulted in the now infamous wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah style of dialogue.
Ahooga! I wouldn't be surprised if that is true.
That is made up.
Oh, that'd be such a great little fact.
Thank you. Other characters besides Charlene include Jackie Brown, After Dinner Minthins, the Van Pelt siblings, and Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Okay. No, I'm not. I don't
what
know. I don't know which one it is. So I'm not buzzing.
Schneider played the piano. Anyway,
the Peanuts dog isn't a dog at all, but rather a third child in the Brown household that Charlene and Jackie decided to dress as a dog to overcome their jealousy issues of not being their parents' favorites anymore. They had long since heard any words of praise from their parents, just wah-wah-wah-wah-wah noises.
I will not buzz in there, but I will say that what blew my mind the other day is when I found out that Hello Kitty is not a kitty. It's not a cat. It's not meant to be a cat. In fact, Hello Kitty, the character... has a cat.
That is strange.
It's meant to be a little girl. Google it. It's really weird. Because obviously, I mean, it looks like a cat.
Right.
But it's meant to be a girl. Very strange.
Like Miffy. Remember Miffy the rabbit?
I don't, but I imagine it is exactly like that if that's the thing you're equating it to.
I am. This explains why the dog can be seen reading books in libraries, playing tennis, and on occasion spying or snooping around the French countryside on a mission to track down the Red Baron.
Ahooga! Have you done something sneaky where those are things that the dog does indeed do, that he just doesn't do them for the reason that you're saying he does?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm going to give it to you.
Yes!
But he does. How do you mean not for the reason that you think he does?
Well, he doesn't do it because he's actually a child.
Oh, yes.
But he does do those things.
Yeah, he does.
Yes.
You got it. So the dog / child is also friends with a bird whose name is never mentioned and was conceptualized by J.R.R. during a particularly bad acid trip at a music festival in 1969.
Ahooga! Beep, beep, beep. Who was there first?
I'm going to say that his name isn't mentioned.
That is not true.
Man.
Andrew was there first.
For? Yeah.
J.R.R. could never remember what he wanted to call the bird. I am allergic to peanuts. The end.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Wow, you must have snuck one through then.
It was tough.
At the end, I did smuggle one through. The Van Pelt siblings, Lucy and Linus. And rerun if you want to look further on into the series, because it's an ongoing story. That's the end of my round, and I've scored 1 point.
Very good. I'm too lazy to look at the scores now, so let's just go straight into my little talk. All right, I'm going to be talking to you about... an island called the Island of Mull.
Okay.
All right. And this is not part of the lecture slash talk I'm going to give, but in case you wanted to place this in your mind, this is an island, a real island, I haven't made it up, off the coast of Scotland. All right, now you know. I did a project on it when I was younger. That is true. Here we go.
This is blending into true or false.
You might think you've never heard of the island of Mull before, but you'd be wrong. You'd be wrong. Mull has been the subject of many popular folk songs, including She'll Be Mulling Round the Mountain When She Comes, Mull of Michael McIntyre, and Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter by Iron Maiden.
Beep. Yes. You tried to hide it there.
What did I try?
You tried to hide the Mull of Kintyre inside the Mull of McIntyre.
No, but I mean, you can lose a point if you want to, but I'm saying that it's inspired a song called Mull of Michael McIntyre, and as far as I know, that song doesn't exist.
Oh my goodness.
It's true. He's asserted a truth there.
The island of Mull is incredibly tiny, incredibly tiny. In fact, it is so small you can't see it on Google Maps, and if you dropped a pin anywhere on the island, it would actually be rather easy to find.
Can't be seen on Google Maps.
That is not true.
What was that last? It'd be easy to find if you dropped a pin on it. Yeah. Of course it would be easy to find if you dropped a pin on it, then you can see it. Oh, you mean actually, I'm thinking about a Google Maps pin, not a real pin.
No, yeah, it's I'm talking about a real pin.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Surely if I stood anywhere and dropped a pin, I could find it, because it's just
at
my
feet. That's true.
I mean,
I feel like there's a cheeky side point in there for me.
I would say I'd go with that.
You can have a half point for that if you want to be a cheat. Wrong. Okay, there is only one secondary school on the island, Tobermory High School. The school has inspired an incredibly successful series of books called Tobermory High, about two ginger twins who solve mysteries with their feral cat. Yeah.
Not the two ginger twins feral cat, but Tobermory High School.
Well, what about it?
It exists.
It does exist. Yeah. You get a point.
Yeah.
And it is the only one secondary school on the island.
Hooray.
That's the full truth. So anyway, these twins solve mysteries with their feral cat, which is a rather common island inhabitant. Mull is an incredibly popular location for several of Hollywood's recent blockbusters. So much so that they recently painted one of their castles green so that the entire interior could be used as one massive green screen. The infamous castle scene in Avengers Age of Ultron was filmed there. Yes.
True.
Untrue. The infamous castle scene in Avengers Age of Ultron was filmed there, which is one of the reasons the Hulk plays such a small role in the film. He was originally going to play a bigger role, but he accidentally got removed along with the green screen. The highest peak on the island is Ben Moore, and the second highest peak being Roger Moore.
Beep. I'm going to go for the Ben Moore being the highest peak.
You're correct.
Yes.
The largest lake on the island is Lady Loch, which is said to be haunted by a Scottish widow playing bagpipes on a three-legged horse. The story goes that when she was poisoned by her husband in the 1800s when he laced the blowpipe of her bagpipes with cyanide. No one knows how she managed to find a ghost horse, though, or why the horse is missing a leg. And that is the end of my little talk. I managed to get one truth past you. That is the fact that feral cats are quite common on the island.
You've milked me with those eyes to say that's surely a fact.
I didn't get that reference that you were trying to throw down.
The reference.
The ginger kids.
Well, there is a very successful...
High school. That's with John Lovett. You know, Sweet Valley High with twins.
Yeah. I don't expect you to have read them because they are aimed at women. And
do you not have an older sister? Like
you are
us,
a sexist.
Like Simon and I.
No, sorry.
Yeah.
You can cut all of this.
No, I'm keeping it in just to spite you.
And the final scores are... Simon is on -2. I'm on -0.5 because somehow I got a half point in the middle of all this. And Andrew wins with a +2.
I have greatest liability.
Massive. Yeah. Good for Claire.
The quiz!
No, before anyone starts any funny business, obviously we were just joking about the points from earlier counting.
I don't know.
All that kind of stuff.
I don't know about that.
I mean, this is a hilarious joke, hilarious prank. I had fun making it, and let's just play the quiz like normal.
I mean, I wouldn't have gone in at that stage and said, can I have extra points for winning a thing? You chose to cross that barrier.
So, as we ever competitive barrier. As we start the quiz, Dylan sits on 5 points and Simon sits on 3 points. And this week's quiz is the Jerry Seinfeld quiz.
Yay! Ooh.
Now, this has special meaning today because I was supposed to bring Dylan a set of DVDs back.
Oh, no.
And I didn't.
And this is how you tell me. I was going to ask afterwards.
I know, I'm sorry.
Why did you forget?
As we all know, round...
Moving on with the quiz. Okay.
As we all know, round one tends to involve some sort of pun.
Right.
And this one is German themed because I really struggled. So we're going to start with round Einfeld.
Works for me.
It's good. Good for me.
Question one. Why does he wear white sneakers when doing his routine?
Awooga.
Simon.
That was my past buzzer.
I like it.
I'm guessing it has to do with the noise. Maybe it makes less noise than regular sneakers.
No, sorry. Yes.
Did you ask why does he have to?
No, just why does he?
Tradition.
Tradition, can you elaborate?
He's always worn them since his first performance.
Why
ever.
Does he wear them, though, is the question.
Well, I asked you. I asked you that. And you said, no, you can
elaborate. He wears them because he wore them on his first appearance on Letterman.
No. No. Any other final guesses?
Comfort.
No.
Comfort.
The answer is as a tribute to two specific people. The one is as a nod to Joe Namath from the New York Jets.
Sure.
Apparently he wore white shoes.
Yeah,
the other is Bill Cosby.
Well, that's a shame.
It is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's probably changed his shoes.
One would hope.
Let's hope so. Okay. Question two. What does he do to hecklers? Dylan.
He invites them up onto stage.
No, he doesn't.
Does he maybe just ignore them? Maybe he's one of those people that just... Because he seems like a gentleman. I don't know if he would be mean to them.
You didn't buzz, but no.
Okay. I also think he's not mean to them. Can I ask as a sub-question, are you ever going to get onto the series, Seinfeld, that I know some stuff about?
Maybe, yeah.
Great. What he does to hecklers is he tells them to stay after the show and has a conversation about it.
Well, he doesn't do that, but I'm going to
give
you
the
that
point anyway.
Because you always give him points for things that are not even the answer.
Well, he counsels them. He takes their side. And so he does talk to them.
Okay, that's literally
the show.
Not what doesn't say in the bit again.
No, it's close enough. Closer, we're going to move this
so
thing
when
along.
I said he was nice to them, you didn't take counseling them as being a nice action.
You didn't say that he was nice to them.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Too late. Question three. What is Jerry's opinion on including laugh tracks?
Oh.
Ooh. Auga. I guess he probably doesn't like it. He'd rather it be performed live in front of an audience where the laughter is real.
Is incorrect.
I think laugh track you mean is the laugh track that they do have on the series.
Yeah.
Which is live in front of an audience. And I think he helps. It helps the characters perform with energy.
Well, he likes them. So Dylan was closer. So Dylan gets the point. Is the right? He likes them. Is the right answer?
He probably likes laugh tracks if they're in front of a live audience.
No.
Which so, show is you took that to mean?
Yeah, no, I actually misunderstood your question. But he likes laugh tracks.
Yeah.
So not necessarily in front of a studio audience.
Right.
Okay. He actually just likes laugh tracks. Right. So he thinks they're helpful. Okay, we're going to move on to round two, which is filming good. And now these are shows.
Can I answer this quickly now?
Yes.
Potato. Now, I'm sure if Dylan had said potato as the first answer, you would have gone, that's close enough.
Okay. Dylan, do you want to go?
Elaine.
Is the right answer. filming good. These are shows. Normally, you know, we have actors or musicians, but this is different because he hasn't been in that many movies and you've all heard of B-movie.
Yes.
All right. So I wasn't going to go C-movie. And these are all shows that he has played himself in.
Okay.
So he's cameoed as himself.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
And you're saying one of them isn't.
One of them isn't.
Okay.
Okay. Good Comedy. Politically Incorrect. The Tommy Chong Roast. Legends Rodney Dangerfield. Primetime Glick.
Ooga.
Yes.
I'm going to go for Primetime, whatever that was.
Primetime Glick.
I'm going to not go for Primetime Glick because I recently saw an episode of Primetime Glick. I didn't see his one on it, but it's quite funny. And I hope he is on it. So I'm going to go for if you could remind me of one of the first two.
Andrew, if you could give me the answer.
No. Not that. I just literally can't say any words anymore because all I can think is Glick.
So... good comedy, politically incorrect, the Tommy Chong roast.
No, we'll go with politically incorrect.
Can I change my mind and actually just
legitimize the actual show.
Can I stick with potato?
Well, you're both wrong. It was good comedy is made up. But he has been on Good Money, apparently.
Ah, okay.
So there we go. Right. Moving on to round three, which is finish the...
potato.
Simon gets a point.
Yay!
Finish the quote. Okay, the first quote.
Fight it.
The first potato is... to me, if life boils down to one thing, it's...
Laughter is the best medicine?
I'm going to have a beep.
Laughter is the best medicine?
Is incorrect.
Auga. Cars.
Wrong.
Sneakers.
Wrong.
Auga. Money.
Wrong.
Laughing with your friends.
Wrong. You're not going to get this, are you?
Auga. Friendship.
No, it is movement. To live is to keep moving.
Ooh. Yeah, not a good quote.
Well, there we go.
Auga chaka. Auga. Auga chaka. Sorry, I'm just singing.
Please don't. Right. There is no such thing as fun for...
Auga. The actors.
False.
A stand-up comic.
False.
I don't know.
Potato?
There is no such thing as fun for...
Everyone.
Getting closer.
Someone.
It's a famous saying. Fun for...
Free.
Fun for...
Family.
Free. You getting closer?
Fun for friends.
Fun for mom and dad.
No, it's not really a famous saying.
Fun for
you and me, audience, world,
family.
Okay, well,
there's no such thing as fun for all family.
If I said family, that's got to give me a point.
I said mom and dad.
Sam's going to get a point. Sam's going to get a point for that. Okay, and the last one is a bookstore is one of the only pieces of evidence we have that
we existed in time and space.
Humans are intelligent.
Oh, I'm going to give you that. People are still thinking.
Yes.
So that's as close as we were going to get there.
I think you're going
to
win this.
Right. We're going
to
move on.
3 points back to begin.
We're going to move on to distant relative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is related to Seinfeld.
Okay.
This may give Dylan the advantage.
So you're counting Seinfeld, the TV series, as a distant relative of Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe not, because they are a bit obscure. So question one. Whose death coincided with the Seinfeld series finale? This person is super famous.
Elvis Presley.
Incorrect.
It's so stupid. What a dumb answer.
Could it not be... Oh, wait, I think he's still alive. But who got one of the boxes? One of those kind of like...
No. Musician is the right area. Musician's
then.
Incorrect. Singer.
Auga, Amy, what? No, she was dead long before.
I can't think of anyone in this world anymore.
They would have been old.
Auga, Willie Nelson. No, he's still alive and kicking.
Yeah, everyone's alive.
Much more famous. So famous.
One
of the Beatles.
Frank the singer. You know what I mean. It's mine.
Who is it?
Frank.
Who is it? I'm amazed.
I literally can't think of his surname now.
I'm amazed that Simon hasn't jumped in yet.
He's a Beatle, isn't it? Paul McCartney.
No, he's literally on the verge of the answer, and I
Frank
can't
Zappa.
Give it.
Frank Sinatra
is the right answer, Dylan. Well done.
Jeez.
Okay.
And I was going through the fast show there. Do you like the music of Frank? I can't get it.
Apparently, the streets were like empty because everyone was watching the Seinfeld finale. Oh. It didn't help. Okay, Jerry is the only character to appear in every episode. But which character appears in one less?
Auga. I'm going to go for Elaine.
Elaine is incorrect.
George.
Is the right answer. Well done, Dylan. I am going to give... 3 points.
Oh, this seems silly.
To the last question. I don't even know if that's going to help. Let's just see if that's going to help Simon.
4 points to whoever.
It's working. Yeah, okay. You can tie it.
Okay.
All right, if you get this right.
But I lost last round on a bonus question, so
Simon's on 6 and Dylan is on 9.
All right, I'm going to come sit closer to you to get this right.
Okay. You got to get closest to the right number.
Okay.
How many times does Jerry say, "Hello, Newman"?
Auga!
In the entire series.
I buzzed first.
Yes.
He says it 53 times.
53 times.
17.
Dylan is closer with 15.
Bow, 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 bow.
Well, a victory for Dylan is a victory for me.
That was fun.
Well done. You won 12 to 6.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that works in my favor too, putting loads of things on the last question.
Well, I stick by what I said. I'm very happy that Dylan won because at the end of the day, I didn't need that victory to know that I'm a better human being.
You can tell yourself that, I guess. I'm going to go sleep on a big pile of quiz winnings.
I'm going to go cry myself to sleep in the corner.
With your integrity.
Running episodes of Seinfeld in the background, just in case we get around to Seinfeld again. This is a long podcast series. We could literally have millions of episodes. Yeah. We might need to go back.
It's true. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to you two for talking. And come back next week, where I'll continue to draw a thing.
Yay!